All right, this morning let's turn to the book of Judges and chapter number 9. And we're continuing this study. And before I kind of get into it, you know, one of the things that's enjoyable about preaching the Bible and preaching it verse by verse through a book is you study things that you never considered before. For example, we're going to talk about a man by the name of Gaal, G-A-L-L. And you know, I've read Judges chapter number 9 many, many, many times. And when you come across Gaal, the son of Ebed, I think it is, you really don't consider that. I wonder who Gaal is. And there's a lot of significance to who he is. And not only significance in the book of Judges, but we're going to go all the way back in the book of Genesis and see who his ancestors are and see what significant point that plays. So there is something good. There's things that I'm learning as I'm studying for these messages that I wouldn't have learned any other way. But Judges 9, and we'll read just the first 6 verses. We're going to preach the entire chapter. So, and it is 57 verses long, but there's a lot of reading in some of that and not a whole lot of comments to make. So don't think that, you know, we're going to cover a lot of ground quickly. Judges 9 says, "And Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem unto his mother's brethren and communed with them and with all the family of the house of his mother's father, saying, Speak, I pray you, in the ears of all the men of Shechem, whether is better for you either that all the sons of Jerubbaal, which are 70 persons, reign over you, or that one reign over you. Remember also that I am your bone and your flesh. And his mother's brethren spake of him in the ears of all the men of Shechem in all these words, and their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, He is our brother. And they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal-Beereth, which wherewith Abimelech hired vain and light persons which followed him. And he went unto his father's house at Ophrah and slew his brethren, the sons of Zerubbabel, and there being 70 persons upon one stone, notwithstanding yet Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself." And I'm going to stop right there. Remember, this is Gideon's son that was born to Gideon's concubine that lived in Shechem. That's who Abimelech is. And if you remember, Jerubbaal is Gideon. So last week we finished looking at the life of Gideon. And we know as we look at the life of Gideon that Gideon was a man called of God to lead the people of God. He was called of God to be a judge. And you remember that cycle that we have been looking at, the children of God, the children of Israel will sin. God will send an oppressor to them. They will cry because of the oppressor, and God will send them a judge. God will deliver the children of Israel because of the judge. And the children of Israel will follow God. And then at the end of that judge's life, the children of Israel fall back into idolatry. And the whole cycle continues. We know also that one of the points that we want to keep in the forefront of our minds throughout this study is the faithfulness of God. No matter how much the children of Israel turn from God, He never forsakes His people. God is going to accomplish His purpose through the children of Israel. So we want to keep that in mind, the faithfulness of God. Listen, if there's one thing we can keep in our mind, that God is faithful to His people. But we also know as we looked at the life of Gideon, we know that he was called of God to lead the children of God, but we also know that Gideon ventured off of the path which God had designed. If you remember our message last week, we studied how Gideon flirted with being a king. The children of Israel said that they wanted him to reign over them, but he refused, if you remember, and said, "I'll not reign over you, only God will reign over you." But then we studied how that he essentially became their king. Remember, the name Abimelech means the son of a king. And so that's what he named his son, the son of a king. So we recognize that Gideon was flirting with being a king. And so today we're titling our message, Venturing into a Kingdom. The children of, maybe I should have called it, Dabbling with a Kingdom. So God had blessed the children of Israel through Gideon. We read how that the land had quietness 40 years during Gideon's leadership. And so there were not any battles. Remember, they put down the Midianites. And so they were living in a peaceful condition for 40 years. But even though they were living in quietness, the seeds of disobedience had already been sown. Quickly after Gideon's death, the children of Israel returned following Baal. They made, as we read, Baal Beareth their god. And you can find that in Judges 8:33. I'm not going to turn back there. And we'll look at who Baal Beareth is a little more later on. But the seeds of kingship had already been sown. The seeds of that kingship that Gideon had sown grew into a covenant. The League of Cities, we see a League of Cities was made. And that covenant between them city, those cities now rises up till they choose Abimelech to be their king. Gideon was called to be a judge. He was called of God. We remember as you go back and study of Judges 7 how God called Gideon to lead the children of Israel to be their judge. But interesting here, as you study and you look at the life of Abimelech, you never see where God chose Abimelech to be the judge. Abimelech becomes the king. Abimelech becomes a judge. But it doesn't tell us that God chose him to be a judge. That's interesting for us. And we'll make application to that a little bit later on. So Abimelech judged Israel, but he was not called of God. Because of that, the children of Israel are going to find trouble. They make decisions without counseling God, without consulting God. They make decisions without consulting God. That causes them trouble. And we know that that causes us trouble also in our lives, doesn't it? They choose a man to be their leader, Abimelech, and their hasty decision leads to heartbreak. And so we read how that they make Baal Beareth. It's there in Judges 9:4. They went and got 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal Beareth. Who is Baal Beareth? Baal Beareth, that name Baal Beareth means the God of the covenant. This name is given to this God because there's a covenant made between a League of Cities. It's a covenant made between the Israelites and the Canaanites. And we know as you study Scripture, I'm not going to take the time to turn back there, but in Exodus 34 in verse number 12, God tells the children of Israel, when you go into the land of Canaan, don't make any covenants with the people of the land. Don't make any covenants with the Canaanites. The children of Israel, they face so much difficulty because they went against the Word of God. They went against what God had told them, how God had warned them. And I wonder how often that happens to us in our lives. They turned to a god, Baal, which in the days before Gideon could not keep the children of Israel. And they return back to following Baal. Baal has no power. He could not keep them before Gideon. They couldn't. Baal had no power during the days of Gideon. Now, 40 years later, they return back to this god that Gideon had destroyed, which, remember, was no god. It was an idol. It was just something that they had made with their hands. And they turned back to following that god. You know what had happened to them? Remember one of the problems that Israel faced throughout what we've been studying? They forgot God. Well, in this case, Not only had they forgotten the power of God, but they had forgotten what it was like to be under the oppression of the Midianites. They forgot what it was like to be living in sin. And because of that, they forgot that oppression. You know, that's one of the most difficult things about living a Christian life, is that you get so accustomed to living the life that is blessed of God, and that you really grow lazy, and you start not making the right decisions, and you stop consulting the Word of God. Maybe you stop coming to church. Maybe you stop reading your Bible. Maybe you stop praying. And before you know it, you're back making decisions that you made before you were saved. And that's where the children of Israel find themselves. And just like the children of Israel, making decisions after the old man will lead you into trouble, just like it led the children of Israel to turn back to Baal-Berith and to serve him. It causes them trouble, which we will see. Also, we notice here Gideon dies. We have a vacuum in leadership. What happens when you have a vacuum? When you have a vacuum, especially in leadership, something tries to fill that vacuum. Someone tries to fill that vacuum. And Gideon had ruled well from a worldly standpoint. He had led them for 40 years, and they had peace. He appears as one of the most successful judges throughout the book of Judges because of the length of the peace that Israel experienced. He ruled with an authority that no one could challenge, but he didn't leave someone in control. He didn't leave anyone in power. Now, maybe that wasn't his to do, but he left that position open because you remember that the kingship being passed down from the king to the eldest son, that's not been established yet. And so here you have Gideon in the power as the judge, and when he dies, there's no one left to lead the people. And so what happens? Gideon left this alliance between some cities, half of them Hebrew and half of them Canaanite. The confederation of cities included Shechem, Beth Milo, Arumah, you'll find in, and Thebez, we find in verse number 50. So this confederation of cities between the Canaanites and the Israelites, this confederation of cities was there. It was what God said not to do, but Gideon had brought them together, and it's going to cause them trouble. Shechem, being the chief city of the area, began to control the politics. Because of that, because of the influence of this confederation of cities, a usurper with no power succeeds in exalting himself and becoming a king. And so Abimelech lusts for power. Let's pick up the reading. Let's pick up the reading in verse number 4, and let's read. And they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal-Berith, wherewith Abimelech hired vain and light persons which followed him. And he went unto his father's house at Ophrah and slew his brethren, the sons of Jerubbaal, being 70 persons upon one stone. Notwithstanding, Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. So what did Abimelech do? He went and made a covenant. He went to the men of Shechem, which was his hometown, and he's going to make a deal with them. Listen, what's better for you to have 70 men ruling over you or just one? And of course, who wants to have 70 people ruling over them? I mean, who wants to have 70 bosses? We want to have one boss, right? And so Abimelech says, listen, here's what I'll do. You give me these 70 pieces of silver, and I'll take care of things. And so he went and killed all of his brothers. So Abimelech killed all of his brothers. He went back to Ophrah, which was Gideon's hometown, and slew all of his brothers upon one stone. Ophrah and Shechem, it appears, were battling cities. Ophrah, the hometown of Gideon, was a city on a hill. Shechem, down in the valley, and it seemed like Ophrah utilized their authority over Sechem, and Sechem wanted to be out from underneath the bondage of Ophrah. And Abimelech says, I'll take care of that. I'll get rid of Ophrah for you. So he went back to his hometown where his dad was from, not where his mom was from. Remember, Abimelech was the son of a concubine that lived in Sechem. And so he went back to his father's hometown and slew all of his brothers, Gideon's sons. Problems are arising because Abimelech kills all of his brothers. And we see there, we read of this city by the name of Sechem. You know, Sechem is a significant city in Israel's history. If you remember last week, we talked about Sechem as the place where Jacob wrestled with God. That was a significant place. Later on, you'll find out in Joshua, or previously if you read Joshua 20 and verse number 7, Sechem was known as one of the sanctuary cities, a city chosen from God by God to be a sanctuary city. Sechem is an important place in Israel. And Abimelech becomes the ruler because he takes the 70 pieces of silver that Sechem had downpaid on his future, and he went and got, he calls them vain and light persons to go along with him and helped him to slay all of his brothers. The men of Sechem choose to kill all of Gideon's sons. But I want you to notice something else. The 70 pieces of silver. They went to the temple, the house of Baal-Berith, and they pulled out 70 pieces of silver. This is no startup idolatry. This idolatry has been around for a while. If they have 70 pieces of silver inside the house of Baal-Berith, it's not like Gideon died and then the next day they started worshiping Baal. They had already been worshiping Baal during the days of Gideon. Maybe it was hidden, we don't know. But this is no startup idolatry. Abimelech slays his brothers upon one stone. And then Jotham makes a prophecy, verse number 7. And when they told it to Jotham, so Jotham is the one son of Gideon that Abimelech didn't kill. And when they told it to Jotham, he went and stood in the top of Mount Gerizim and lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, hearken unto me, you men of Sechem, that God may hearken unto you. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness wherewith by me they honor God and man and go to be promoted over the trees? And the trees said unto the fir tree, come thou and reign over us. But the fir tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said the trees unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine and which cheereth God and man and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said all the trees unto the bramble, come thou and reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth you anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow, and if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Now therefore, if you have done truly and sincerely in that you have made Abimelech king, and if you have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house and have done unto him according to the deserving of his hands, for my father fought for you and adventured his life far and delivered you out of the hand of Midian, and you are risen up against my father's house this day and have slain his sons 70 persons upon one stone and made Abimelech the son of his maidservant king over the men of Sechem because he is your brother. If you then have dealt truly and sincerely with Jerubbaal and with his house this day, then rejoice in Abimelech and let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the men of Sechem and the house of Milo, and let fire come out of from the men of Sechem and from the house of Milo and devour Abimelech. And Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech his brother. If you remember, the children of Israel wanted Gideon to be their king. They wanted Gideon to rule over them, and Gideon refused. After Gideon's death, Abimelech seized the opportunity He slays his brothers and becomes a king. In this prophecy, Abimelech is the bramble. The point that Jotham is trying to make is that Sechem desired a king so much, they were willing to take the least candidate. The least candidate. The one that was less likely to be the king. The one that was most likely to be a poor king. And they wanted a king so badly, they chose the worst candidate. You ever desire something so much in your life that you're willing to accept poor circumstances rather than wait on the plan of God? You know, we can't wait on God. We got to have it and have it now. So we're willing to make poor decisions. I mean, an easy example of that is credit, right? I mean, our society is built on credit. Instead of working to save until you can afford something, you say, I got to have it now, so I'll go get it on credit. That's making a poor decision that leads to problems later on. That's what the children of Israel did. They made a bad decision. They chose a wicked man to be their king, and because of that, they're going to suffer. We're going to find out as we read on. Gideon had been good to them. You read in verse number 17. He had treated them well. He had adventured his life. He had delivered the children of Israel and the men of Sechem from the Midianites. Had they treated Abimelech, or have they treated Gideon's son well? No. So look at verse 20 and 21. If you have not treated the sons of Gideon well, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the men of Sechem and the house of Milo, and let fire come out from the men of Sechem and from the house of Milo and devour Abimelech. And Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer and dwelt for the fear of Abimelech. What's going to happen? We're going to find out through the rest of this chapter what's going to happen to the men of Sechem because of the way they treated Gideon and Gideon's sons. Here's the problem. The children of Israel had made a covenant with the Canaanites. Will this be successful? Why would God discourage the children of Israel from making a covenant with the Canaanites? The reason that God discourages the league between the Canaanites and his people is because they don't view life the same way. They don't make decisions the same way. They don't have the Canaanites, they don't make decisions according to the law of Moses. They make decisions after what is most pleasing to them. They make decisions on what is most profitable to what they think. They don't think like God thinks. They don't make godly decisions. They make worldly decisions. That's why God warned them about making a covenant with the Canaanites. Remember this, Abimelech is not a full Hebrew. He is the son of Gideon and the son of a concubine from Sechem, which was a Canaanitish woman. That's going to lead them into trouble. And if you remember, I read for you in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Let's just turn there real quick. Hold your places in Judges chapter number 9. And understand that God warns us about the same thing. Paul warns the Corinthians when he says this, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. God warns us about making covenants with unbelievers. And we need to be careful with that. It caused the children of Israel trouble, and it will cause us trouble in our lives if we make covenants with unbelievers. So what do we find out about Abimelech? Going back to Judges 9. And when Abimelech had reigned, this is verse 22, 3 years over Israel, then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dwelt treacherously with Abimelech, that the cruelty done to the 70 son of Jerubbaal might come, and their blood be laid upon Abimelech, their brother, which slew them, and upon the men of Shechem, which aided him in the killing of his brother. And the men of Shechem set liars in waits for him in the top of the mountains, and they robbed all that came along the way by them. And it was told Abimelech, and Gaal the son of Ebed came with his brethren and went over to Shechem. And the men of Shechem put their confidence in him, and they went out in the fields and gathered their vineyards and trod the grapes and made merry and went into the house of their god and did eat and drink and cursed Abimelech. And Gaal the son of Ebed said, "Who is Abimelech and who is Shechem that we should serve him? Is not he the son of Jerubbaal?" And Zebul his officer served the men, and Hamer the father of Shechem, for why should we serve him? And would to God this people were under my hand, then would I remove Abimelech. And he said to Abimelech, "Increase thine army and come out." So Abimelech's going to be proven. Haven't you always heard this? You find the true metal of a man when he is facing trouble. What would we find out about Abimelech? He's going to face an uprising against him. Gaal is going to try and run him out of the kingship. How will Abimelech respond? You know the old saying, the same water that softens the potato hardens the egg. We will find out the heart of Abimelech. What is his heart? How is he ruling as king? We read this, that God sends an evil spirit. So this that's going on, this uprising, this rebellion against Abimelech, it comes from God. The men of Shechem attempt to weaken the hand of Abimelech by attacking those who come to Shechem for trade. And then you find the influence of Gaal in verse number 28. Who is that? It says that he is a descendant of Hamor, the father of Shechem. The men in Shechem are descendants of Hamor, the father of Shechem. That's interesting. Does that ring a bell for you, anyone? If you go back to the book of Genesis, remember when Jacob brought his sons into this area? And Dinah, the son of Jacob, went out into the land. And as she was out there, if you remember, one of the sons of the land saw her and raped her. And then said, "Oh, no, wait a minute, I want her to be my wife." Do you remember? And Jacob said, "Oh, no, we can't do that." But Jacob and his sons, Levi and Simeon, they made this covenant with the men of that area, that city, that area, and said, "Now listen, if all your men will be circumcised, then we will make a covenant with you, and we'll take your sons, your daughters for our sons, and we'll intermarry, and you know, everything will be good." And you remember what happened? That's when Simeon and Levi went into the city and killed all the males of that city and took their wives and their young ones and spoiled the city. Do you remember that? Do you know who the man was, the boy was that raped Dinah? His name was Shechem. You know who his dad was that made a covenant with Jacob? Hamor. You know, God says your sins will always find you out. Jacob told Simeon and Levi that, "Listen, you're going to make me stink among the inhabitants of the land." Simeon and Levi, even though Jacob told them what would happen to them in their lives, they thought they got by with their sin of murdering all of the men of Shechem. It's not till several years later, in the time of the judges, that the sins of Simeon and Levi are found out and they're brought to judgment. You see, you might think that making a decision now, and because there's not immediate consequences, you may think you're getting by with it. But the Scripture says, beware, your sins will find you out, and that's the truth. Just because you don't face immediate judgment today doesn't mean there's not going to be some consequences for your sins. Simeon and Levi find out because we're going to find out the judgment of God. The Cyclopedia says this about Gale. Although deprived of Sechem, the family appears to have maintained itself in some power in the neighborhood, which included the Sechemites, to look to Gale when they became tired of Abimelech. So this family of Hamor and Sechem, even though all of the males were slain, it seems like they stayed in the area, and maybe their daughters who were kept alive, maybe they told about what had happened, and so here they are still living in the same area. And the descendants of the ones who had been murdered by Simeon and Levi are still living in the area. And they still remember what the children of Jacob had done. And here we are in the book of Judges. And Gale's going to make retribution. He said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to get rid of Abimelech first. And then we'll make Israel pay for the sins of Simeon and Levi. You go on and read the account in verse 29. Verse 29, and would to God this people were under my hand, and then when I remove Abimelech, and he said to Abimelech, increase thine army and come out. And so Gale makes these bold judgment. I'm going to destroy Abimelech. Then Abimelech says in verse number 30, and when Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gale, the son of Ebed, his anger was kindled. There you have it. Loose lips sink ships. Zebul advises Abimelech how to defeat the city. Abimelech follows the plan. Then in verse number 38, as you read through verse 34, and Abimelech rose up, and all night the people that were with him by night, and they laid wait against Sechem in four companies. And Gale the son of Ebed went out and stood in the entering of the gate of the city. And Abimelech rose up, and the people that were with him from lying in wait. And when Gale saw that the people, he said to Zebul, behold, they're come down from the top of the mountains. And Zebul said unto him, thou seest the shadow of the mountains. Well, just read down through the story, and you find out that Abimelech defeats Gale. And then in verse number 38, Zebul says, where is now thy mouth wherewith thou says, who is Abimelech that we should serve him? So Zebul, his pride, pride cometh before a fall, or Gale, his pride cometh before a fall, and Gale falls. Abimelech fights against the city, verse 40, and Abimelech chased him, and he fled before him, and many were overthrown and wounded, even into the entering of the gate. Abimelech continues the assault of the city. And verse 45, and Abimelech fought against the city all that day. And he took the city and slew the people that was therein and beat down the city and sowed it with salt. So Abimelech destroyed the city of Sechem. Verse 46, and when all the men of the tower of Sechem heard that, they entered into to an hold of the house of the god of Beerith. And it was told Abimelech that all the men of the tower of Sechem were gathered together. Anyway, Abimelech comes and cuts down a bow, and he goes, and they start a fire at the base of the tower in Sechem, and all the men of Sechem are destroyed. Verse 45 at the end, so that all the men of the tower of Sechem died, about 1,000 men and women. So then not only does Abimelech, he doesn't stop there, he goes to the next city, the city Thebes, verses 50 through 55. Then went Abimelech to Thebes and encamped against Thebes and took it. But there was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and women, they of the city, and shut it to them and got them up in the top of the tower. And Abimelech came unto the tower and fought against it and went hard into the door of the tower to burn it with fire. And a certain woman cast a piece of millstone upon Abimelech's head, and all to break his skull. Then he called hastily unto the young man, his armor bearer, and said unto him, draw thy sword and slay me, that men shall say not of me, a woman slew him. And his young man thrust him through, and he died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man unto his place. What are we finding here? We are finding here that Abimelech was killed to pay for his sin of killing all the sons of Gideon. Shechem also was destroyed because they financed Abimelech in going against all the sons of Gideon. Your sins will find you out. God brings judgment upon sins. That's what we find here. There are consequences to decisions. Verses 56 and 57, God gets the victory. You see, thus God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did unto his father in slaying his 70 brethren, and all the evil men of Shechem did God render upon their heads, and upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal. God repays Abimelech, God repays the men of Shechem, and Jotham's prophecy is fulfilled. So how did this venture into kingship go for the children of Israel? The League of Nations desired a king. Israel moves forward. They know, listen, when Shechem chose a king and this League of Cities chose a king, how did that go for those cities? Not well. So, you know, in the future we're going to see that Israel desires a king. We want to be like all the other countries around us, to have a king to rule over us. You know what someone should have said? Hey, how did it go back in Shechem when they desired a king? That didn't go too well. Maybe we shouldn't have a king. But they didn't learn from their history. They didn't learn from their mistakes. This first venturing into kingship was not successful. It was not good for the people. It caused the city of Shechem to be destroyed. It's never wise to go against God's ways. The nation did not learn from the sins of Shechem. They should not be surprised when Saul turns out the way he does. What's some lessons for us? Well, very blatantly, your sins are going to find you out. God's ways are the best ways. A human leader has faults, but you also see God will not forsake his people. You see, even though the children of Israel made poor decisions, God's still their God. He's still going to bring Messiah from his people. There's still going to be Jesus. God is faithful. His plan and his purposes, they cannot be destroyed no matter what kind of decisions men make. God, as the sovereign God who rules this world through his providence, even though men may make poor decisions, it's not going to thwart the plan of God. Aren't we thankful for that today? That no matter how poorly our decisions may, we may make our decisions, God, in his providence, his purpose is going to be fulfilled. You know what else we find out? Forgiveness is needed. Poor decisions are made. Sins are committed. Forgiveness is needed. And forgiveness is necessary. And you know why we can have forgiveness? Because Jesus Christ bare our sins in his own body on a tree. And he bore our sins in his body. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus paved the way for forgiveness. You have the possibility of forgiveness today because God is faithful. He gave us his Son, the Messiah. And he went to the cross. and paid our sin debt. Because of that, we can have forgiveness and eternal life. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you today, we pray, Lord, that we will learn from the example of the children of Israel, of the danger of going against your ways. We pray, Lord, that you will teach us and that you will lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And God, if we have committed sins, we ask for your forgiveness. Pray, Lord, that you will lead us. And God, I pray that you'll be merciful to us. If we've made poor decisions, we've gone against your ways, we seek your mercy so that we can walk as children of light. Lord, if there's one here today that doesn't know your Son, Jesus Christ, in forgiveness of their sins, we pray that you will show them that they're a sinner. We pray that you will show them that there's forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. And we pray that you will grant them repentance unto life so that they might be born again. Thank you for your word that leads us and guides us. It is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.